Turn with me, if you would, please, to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 through 21. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Let us pray together. O Lord, we pray that you will open your word to us, that you will teach us, that you will preach your word, that we all will hear it, and that we will all obey it, and appreciate your wonderful grace and your incredible love for sinful people. Thank you again. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, we all have significant events that have happened to us in life, and they continue to happen. They can be things that are wonderful, or they can be things that are tragic. These verses teach about a very significant event that was absolutely wonderful, and yet it was also very tragic and sorrowful. This event, which was both, was the death of Jesus upon the cross. It was absolutely wonderful because he shed his blood for the sins of his people. Yet it was also tragic and sorrowful because our Savior suffered the agony and the wrath of God upon the cross. So let's take a look at these verses this morning and see what they teach us about redemption, the payment for sin. Redemption, the payment for sin. So let's look together here this morning. There are three things I'd like you to see. First of all, the value of your redemption. The value of your redemption. You see this in verse 18. It says, knowing you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by traditions from your fathers. And under this value of your redemption, there's three things about this redemption I'd like to see. I've been speaking to us here. First of all, the price of your redemption. The price of your redemption. It says, not with corruptible things. Redemption is not something you can buy with material things. You can't receive redemption by anything you can do. It's a gift of God. He secures his relationship with you by grace alone. The things of the world are corruptible. They won't last. No matter how valuable they are, they will perish. I'd like you to take a look at the word redeemed. The word redeemed is the Greek word lutrao, which means to release upon receipt of a ransom. It was a market term, and it meant paying something that was belonged to someone else, paid the ransom, and the person was given to, primarily in the slave market. The ransom was paid Jesus' blood, and we were released from the bondage of sin. And the word corruptible that's used there is a word which means decay or moral decay that just goes away because of what it is. Your redemption was so costly that God himself had to take upon the form of a man and come to this earth and live a perfect life, never sin, yet the wrath of God was poured out upon him on the cross. That is a remarkable thing, that God in all his splendor and glory would come to this earth. What a price of redemption. Now, as I said, anything that we have, no matter what it is, will perish. It's very interesting. My grandfather, when I was a young child, I would go over to his house, and he had this big safe in his dining room. And we would go in as kids, and he would open up a safe, and he'd bring out all these old coins that he had. He collected coins, and he had two coins dated before the time of Jesus that were called, he said they were priceless. At that time it was priceless. But now, with the excavation that has gone on, what they have found out is that most of the people who lived back in that time would, what they would do is they would bury their money, because there were no banks, and they would go off to war and die, or something would happen, that when they started to excavate, they were digging up loads and loads and loads of these old coins. Now, you can buy a bag of them for $15 that at one time were priceless. You see, no matter how valuable it is, it perishes and it loses its value, but your redemption never will. The second thing I'd like you to notice is the preciousness of your redemption. The preciousness of your redemption. Notice it says, not with silver or gold. Not with silver or gold. You see, redemption is far greater and more valuable than anything in this world. Even gold and silver, which were very high and very valuable. See, redemption determines where you are going to spend eternity. In heaven or hell, and then into the lake of fire. The question is, do you have this redemption? Where will you spend eternity? Matthew chapter 13, verse 45 through 46, Jesus compares the value of eternal life to the most precious pearl that one could ever find. He is stressing the value of eternal life and how his people should value the gift of redemption. Turn to Matthew chapter 13, verse 45 through 46 for a moment. Matthew 13, verse 45 through 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Isn't that amazing? That's what he did. That's what he did. Went out with everything that he had and bought it. You see, that's how valuable redemption is. Are you willing to give up everything for redemption? If persecution would become very difficult in this country, are you willing to give up material things to stay faithful to the Lord? Your redemption is very precious. And then thirdly, I'd like you to notice the plan of your redemption. The plan of your redemption. Notice it says, not from traditions of your fathers. Valuable things and wealth are passed down from generation to generation and are cherished by those who receive them. But redemption is not something that can be handed down to others like material things. It is something you must personally receive. Your parents can tell you about redemption and the forgiveness of sin, but they can't give it to you. You must receive the gift of salvation yourself. You must understand that you can't save yourself by good works. And understand that you are under God's wrath, a sinner. You're under his judgment. You must believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And you must ask him to forgive you and to take his blood that was shed and wash away all your sins. It is only by the blood of Jesus. Turn with me, please, if you would, to Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 11. Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 11 and 12. It says, but Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, but with the blood not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. He came. He shed his blood. He's greater than any other sacrifice. The Old Testament was just sacrifices that would cover and hold back the wrath of God. But Jesus came and offered himself, the perfect sacrifice. Do you have this redemption? Is it this valuable to you? Your redemption. Do you see the price that was paid? How precious it is, and the plan? Not from tradition of fathers. Things are handed down often. Things are often handed down from generation to generation. But you see, this blood of Christ, this great eternal sacrifice, cannot be handed down. It's more valuable than anything that perishes. It is. It is the redemption of Jesus. He shed his own blood. The second thing I'd like you to notice is the sacrifice for your redemption. The sacrifice for your redemption. You see this in verse 19. Notice he says, we weren't redeemed in verse 18 with corruptible things or anything like that. But he says, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You notice as you look at verse 19 where it says, but with the precious blood of Christ. The next phrase, the first phrase could really be read without the second phrase, but he's emphasizing something. The precious blood of Christ, it could have gone to verse 20. He indeed was foreordained. But it says, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He's pointing back to the sacrifices of the old covenant. He is that lamb, the perfect lamb of God. So as we look at the sacrifice for your redemption, notice first of all, the payment for your redemption. The payment for your redemption. It was a blood payment. The blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus. The payment for your redemption is the blood of Jesus. Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God. That's what it took. It took God himself, who was perfect without any sin, to be able to suffer for our sins because he had no sin of his own. Turn to Hebrews 9:22 for a moment. Hebrews chapter 9. Verse 22. It says, 9:22, and according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission. Right? Hebrews is saying, if Jesus didn't sacrifice himself, if it wasn't the perfect blood of the Lamb, of the perfect Lamb, there'd be no remission of sins. You know, it's amazing that God's grace saved any of us. Some people wonder why he doesn't save everyone. I wonder why he saves anyone. When you look at what we've done, our sin, what our sin deserved, even if it would have been just one of us, one person, Jesus still would have had to die and suffer on the cross for the sin that was committed. Look also at Acts chapter 20, verse 28 for a moment. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. It says, therefore, take heed to yourselves, he's talking to the elders, and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, notice this, which he purchased with his own blood. That's how you enter the church of God, the true church of God, is when the blood of Jesus washes away your sins, and you believe in him for your redemption, for forgiveness, the payment for your sin. Secondly, notice the pain of your redemption. The pain of your redemption. Notice it says the precious blood of Christ.
Notice that blood was necessary to wash away sin, not animal sacrifices. It never would completely wash away. It held back the wrath of God. The blood of animals under the old covenant just did that. Until the great Redeemer, the Lamb of God, would come. Jesus suffered the agony of the cross. He took upon himself the sins of his people. That's what we remember today at the table. Taking upon himself the wrath that you and I deserve. Turn to 2 Corinthians 5:21 for a moment. 2 Corinthians 5:21. says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." See, he had no sin, perfect, kept the law of God completely. And not only does he wash away our sins when he died on the cross, but then he gives us, he imputes to us, gives to us his perfect record of keeping the law of God. So then when God looks at us perfectly, he sees us as perfect law keepers, positionally, in him, because of what Jesus has done. Jesus suffered. We will never understand how awful that was. Not only the physical torment, but the wrath of God. God turning his back and pouring out his wrath on him. It was a very painful and awful thing, but it was necessary for our redemption. Thirdly, the perfection of your redemption. Notice the perfection of your redemption. It says, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Jesus was that lamb. He never sinned. He kept the law of God. When he forgives the sinner, he forgives them of all their sin, breaking the law of God. When he looks at you, he sees you in Christ as perfect. The perfection of your redemption. God came to this earth. We needed a perfect sacrifice, and he did that. Can you imagine how, we aren't God, but you can look at this and say, here's God in his splendor. Jesus created the heavens and the earth, and out of time, he's in eternity. To leave that majesty, that glory, and that splendor to come to earth, become a man, so that he could redeem a people for himself. Redemption is perfect, but we are under the bondage of sin before salvation, and there's nothing we can do. We can't do enough good. I knew a man many years ago who incurred an enormous gambling debt from betting on racehorses. Problem is, he borrowed the money from a lot of bad people. He wound up in jail, but was fearful for his life because there was no way he could pay back the debt. There was no way. I don't know exactly what happened after that, but that's like a sinner. You're caught. There's no way to pay the debt. It's too much. You don't have enough of anything for that redemption. And today, we look at that sacrifice of our redemption, the Lord Jesus, and what he did for us. The perfect redemption that we have. And then the third thing I'd like you to notice in verses 20 through 21, the decree of your redemption. The decree of your redemption. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. The decree of your redemption. First of all, the promise of your redemption. First thing I'd like you to notice. Notice it was before the foundation of the world. The plan of God's redemption for his people was made before the world was ever created. He decreed his plan. Adam would fall. Sin would enter the world. He would call a people for Himself, people who don't deserve grace and truth and love and forgiveness. And it was all planned before time ever was. It reaches back into eternity. You see, that's how certain God's promises are. That's why when God promised a Redeemer would come, that promise was kept. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4 for a moment. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 through 4. It says, Ephesians 1, 3 through 4, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him." See that? Blessed us before the foundation of the world. He knew you if you're a believer. He knew you before the world was created. He knew you when you were born and you were far from Him. And then He brought you to a specific time when you called upon His name and He saved you. The decree of His redemption. You can look back in your life and see all that has happened. And that is His promise. I look back to one incident in my life when I was a young child. We were out at a creek or a kind of a lake area. We were with friends and my parents were there, and I wasn't able to swim completely. I used to hop. When I got too deep, I would just put my legs down, kick back up in the sky, well, up to the water. But what happened was I went off a deep cliff that was in the lake, and I went under, and I started taking water, and I thought, this is it. As a kid, I thought, this is it. I'm not going to make it. I can't get up. Just that time, someone swims by, pulls me up, brings me back to the area, and I get up, and I'm coughing a little bit, and I turn around to look, and he's not there. Whoever that man was got away quickly, if it was a man, and God preserved me, because if I would have died at that time, I would have not been come to a point where I would have believed in Him. But His hand is upon us. His hand is upon you in everything that you go through. Because He promised His people redemption. Secondly, the person of your redemption. The person of your redemption. Notice it says, in these last times for you. Verse 20. In these last times for you. Peter is saying, it was Jesus who the law and the prophets spoke about. He came as a promised, and you are the generation He was born into. What a blessing, Peter is saying. This Jesus, the Redeemer, was the one promised to you, and He has come. And even in our day, to be able to look back to the cross. Under the old covenant, they looked forward to it. They knew a Redeemer was coming, and they were saved by grace through faith alone, like you and I are. But they looked forward to Him. We look back. Turn to Galatians 4, 4 through 5. Galatians chapter 4. 4 through 5. It talks about the time when God would send him. It was His perfect time. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 through 5. "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons." What a wonderful thing, isn't it? We're God's enemies. We don't know Him. But Jesus came in that appointed time when God appointed Him to come, and He redeemed us that we might be His adopted children. You know, we who families who adopt our children realize how special that is. But that's the way God gets all His children, through adoption. No one is born righteous except Jesus was never born, but he is the only righteous being. He was, always was, and always will be. But God gets all his children that way, by adoption. Turn to Hebrews 1 for a moment. Hebrews 1, chapter 1, or chapter 1, verses 1 through 2, for a moment. We see that Jesus was this promised Redeemer, how the prophets spoke in the past. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 through 2. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Jesus himself made the worlds in eternity. God spoke to the prophets, the law and the prophets. In this time, now, Peter says he spoke to us through his Redeemer, the great prophet, priest, and king God spoke through. You see how important God's Word is to be to all of us, that we ought to spend time reading it and studying and meditating on it, talking about it with friends. It's so important. It's God's Word. The Scripture, the Bible is complete now. We have such a great blessing. But the question is, how much time do we put into that? How much time do we spend on the computer and on other things versus the time we spend in the Scriptures and talking to others about scriptural things? God's Word is very special. And his redemption came to us. And Peter's saying, you have such a very, very special gift. And we remember what he did for us today as we come to his table. Thirdly and lastly, the power of your redemption. The power of your redemption. You who through him believed. See that? You through him believed. That's really an incredible statement when it talks about the power of God. Because we're dead in our trespasses and sins. We can't save ourselves. But he said, you who through him believed. It's because he opened our eyes. Because the power of God, the power of our redemption is seen in our salvation. God changes the lives of his people. We're not perfect, but he begins to recreate us. Salvation is by grace through faith alone in the finished work of Jesus upon the cross. There's no other way of forgiveness for sin. Jesus is now sitting on the throne in heaven and awaiting the time when he will come to earth. When the last one of his elect is called in to his kingdom, he will return. Turn to Romans 10:13. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Also a very special verse for all of us, a familiar verse. Romans 10, 13. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus says, if you come to me, I will save you. Anyone that wants to come may come, but God enables that coming to him. No one will ever say in eternity, I wanted to come to Jesus, but he didn't let me, or I couldn't. You want to come? Come, he says. If you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. Turn to 1 Peter. We'll read 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10 for a moment. 1 Peter chapter 2. 9 through 10. Listen to what he says. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now the people are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. See, it's the power of redemption. The power that at one time we were not. We were dead. We were without hope. But God came and changed us. The decree of your redemption. A promise that God would do it. You see how wonderful this redemption is. If you're a real Christian, your life has changed forever. Today we remember this great salvation that Jesus brought to us as we gather around His table. Because He calls you and me to remember the payment for sin and the incredible price Jesus paid to redeem you. See, Jesus loved His people and loves His people so much that He gave His life for sinners. He gave His life for His people. He knew every sin that we would ever commit when He was on the cross, and He paid for them. It wasn't just salvation in some broad sense that He shed His blood. He knew the sins of His people. He gave His life for sinners. And today we remember Jesus giving His life for His people. Let's pray.